B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Mash.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hi there, everybody. Welcome into the program. Felger and Maserati coming to you on Thursday, April 9th, here in the middle of the apocalypse. We got Maz, myself, on remote, Big Jim Murray at our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. Fellas, how you doing?
Yeah, good. You?
You okay, Murray? You hanging in there, kid?
Yeah, it's a day-to-day, hour-by-hour thing. You know?
All right, we'll try and take your mind off it with some real sports misery here. We got a lot of stuff to get to. We're going to mix it up a little bit today, but I hope you will just indulge me. We all have a couple of little leftover things, a couple leftover nits to pick from Brady's interview yesterday. I just want to start off with mine. I just want to get it off my chest because it's just frankly, it's been a core issue of mine for a couple of years. And if you've listened to the show, you know that I've spent a lot of time on it. I'm sure a lot of you think probably too much time on it. But so be it. It is, to me, it was an important story at the time. It remains an important story, and I'm not letting it go. And that is Tom Brady skipping OTAs. I think it's a garbage move for a quarterback to skip passing camp. Now, there's different phases to the OTAs. There's phase 1, 2, and 3. 1 and 2 is negotiable, even for Tom. I think the quarterback should be there for everything. But one and two, phase one, phase two, is phase one is like stretching. They don't even bring the balls out, I don't think. It's all sort of, you know, just pure fitness and that sort of thing. Phase two, I think they start to bring some balls out and maybe you screw around a little bit with some of your positional group out on the field. But there's no real, you know, install or organized team activity or anything like that. The third phase, I'm sorry? Okay, I'm sorry, Jimmy. The third phase is the passing camp. And no quarterback skips the passing camp. For the last couple of years, 31 of the 32 quarterbacks showed up for their passing camp, except for Tom Brady. Okay? And I thought it was garbage at the time. I think it's garbage today. And I ain't letting it go. And this is why I'm going to start with this nit to pick. Yesterday, Tom Brady opened up a little bit about his marriage and some of the problems they were having and him having to dial back the off-season stuff to appease Giselle and work on their marriage, etc. And yesterday, I never heard him say OTA or passing camp. I never heard Howard ask him about it. So I didn't know he was referring to it, and I didn't think he was referring to it, and I never made the connection. But you guys did, and everyone today that I'm reading wrote about it. You know, that he explained his absence from the passing camps because he was working on his marriage. So, just before I get going, you think that's right, Maz? You think that's what he was referring to and that's what was going on yesterday and I just sort of missed it?
I mean, that's how I took it, that he was talking about how his life has changed and he's had to make adjustments away from the field and that, he can't be football 24/7, 365. That's how I took it.
Yeah, and okay. I think it's obvious just because it's the only time he actually missed. It's not like he was missing time preseason, regular season, anything like that. I mean, that's the only thing you can actually point at and say, oh, where were you and what was the reason?
So he never directly referenced it. I don't think Howard ever directly referenced it. OTA, passing camp, off-season Patriots camps. So if he wasn't referring to this, then what I'm about to do is a big never mind. But if he was, what garbage, dude. What garbage on so many levels. What bullcrap that is. And then furthermore, you know, everyone's different on this, but to blame a family thing, to use a family thing as an excuse, I just think's bad karma. Like, you know, this is a little bit of a different example, but something you will never hear me do when I weasel out of something or, you know, don't want to go somewhere or don't want to do something, I will never say my kids are sick. Ever! Because I don't ever want them to be so. Why would I mess with that karma? Like, that is something I will never do. Maybe even if they are sick. I don't even want to say it. So it's like, that's just a personal thing. Like, that's, but it's like, boy, because you were pissed at the team because of your contract. Okay? That's the reason, Tom. And so they didn't invest in you. they wouldn't pay you extra, so you weren't going to work extra. Oldest reason in the book. And some people think you're justified in doing so. But to blame a family problem for that is, I think, so weak. I just, never mind the fact that it's completely bullcrap. So first, just let me play the cut and let me pick it apart a little bit. I'm sorry, this is how I'm going to start. I'm just going to scratch this itch before we move on to other things. Here's Tom yesterday on the marital stuff and the off-season workouts.
What was important to her, what was important to me is our family and our relationship. And at different times, like any married couple, you know, things need to be changed. And, you know, there was, you know, a couple of years ago we had, you know, she didn't feel like I was doing my part for the family. Mm. You know, and she felt like I would play football all season and she would take care of the house. And then all of a sudden when the season would end, I'd be like, great, let me get into all my other business activities. Let me get into, you know, my football training. And she's sitting there going, well, when are you going to do things for the house? When are you going to take the kids to school and do that? Right. And that was a big part of our marriage that I had to like check myself. Because she's like, I have goals and dreams too. It's just not to, you know, do these things either. So you better start, you know, taking care of things at the house. So 2 years ago, as it related to even football for me, I had to make a big transition in my life to say, I can't do all the things that I wanted to do for football like I used to. I need, you know, I got to take care of things in my family because my family, the situation wasn't great. She wasn't satisfied with our marriage.
I have so many problems with that. I mean, it's like I barely know where to begin, and I'm going to get it jumbled and confused and out of order, and I'm going to leave things out. But, Maz, do you get to pick up your kids every day from school?
No. God, no. Please. No.
Who does?
Anyway, go ahead. Go.
But no. Go. Finish.
No, I mean, you know, obviously I'm at the studio all the time, and there's lots of things that I think we all miss. And, you know, one of the things of working in the sports media, and we're lucky now because, you know, generally speaking, we're done 6-7 o'clock. But Little League games, stuff like that, out. Forget it. I didn't see my kids play baseball a lot of times.
Who gets to pick up their kids at school every day? Who gets that? I mean, if you're lucky, maybe one of you can do one of the things, you know, like, especially if you've got a two working household. Wait, I don't get to pick my kids up from school. I get to take them. The Wood has an impossible schedule. She can't take them. Sometimes she can pick them up. And to fill in the gaps, we get help like a billion other people in this country. Who gets to pick up their kids at school every day? Good God. Never mind that Tom Brady, Maz, you covered baseball. What's the strain on a baseball player? What the number of days away, the number of days out of town, the number of days at a training camp? Can you compare that to what these guys do in football?
No, look, it's not even close. I mean, again, you just start with 81 road games, 6 weeks of spring training, and then the playoffs in October. And, you know, years ago, as you remember, you know, when I'm talking from a media perspective now, we used to cover the postseason no matter who was in it. So that's 30 days on the road. You're on the road for 42 in the spring. It's anywhere between 150 and 175 nights a year where you're in a hotel room or a condo.
Oh, my God. The football players, do you understand how easy the football schedule is compared to other sports?
It's not.
It is ice cream and unicorns and show ponies.
Totally.
You know, they get hit in other areas, like the toll on their body and brain injuries and things like that. You know, you want to talk to me about that? No problem. But the schedule of a football player, you've got to be kidding me. You get one scheduled off day a week. When you get into the season, they usually give you the Monday too. So that's 2 days a week you're fully off. Who out there gets that? Do any of you out there get that? Two full days off scheduled per week where you get to, Giselle, drop off and pick up your kids and then help out at the house, fix the light bulbs in the house like you're doing that anyway. Oh, what garbage. And then you get to the off season. Okay, the phase one of this stuff doesn't even start till March. So, yeah, the Pats go to the Super Bowl. So, okay, first of all, you at least get all February. Last year, you had all January and February to every single day, if you wanted, drop off the kids, pick up the kids, and change the light bulbs in the house. And you're going to say you had to skip the passing camp in March and April because of you had to be home? Lie. garbage. And I you can tell I'm like kind of offended that he uses the family thing as the reason. It's like, dude, I'd have much more respect if you just said the facts, which is, look, it's voluntary, right? It's not in the collective bargaining agreement. We're not required to be there. So they were jerking me around with my contract. They wanted me to work extra. It's not required, so I didn't show up. Yeah, and you know what? A lot of people would agree with Tom. A lot of people would come to his defense. But let's just say, okay, Giselle needed him home those 2 weeks in March to drop off and pick up and vacuum the living room. Okay? He can still do it. The OTAs, you don't, it's not like spring training, Maz, where these guys go away for 6 weeks. It's like, in some respects, it's like 3 hours or 5 hours or less. It's not even a full work day. You go in the morning, you do a couple hours, maybe there's a little something in the afternoon, then you go home, okay? So it's not, you're not being sent to the gulag, you're not being sent out of town, you're not being holed up in some little college like they used to do. You're home, and you're away for a couple hours, and you're back for a couple hours. I think it's such bullcrap that I am borderline, I am offended by it. It's just, I can't let it go. And I think that the whole thing about the CBA and is it voluntary or involuntary? Do they pay you for it or not? Like, I think the rank and file has a case there. Look, man, if this is so important, then you pay us and you make it part of the salary. And like, I get it. But for a quarterback, that's different. You're already paid fairly. And I know Brady gave some back over the years, but we could all say of all the football players that get treated fairly, Maz, wouldn't say the quarterback is near the top of the list. They make real money, and their compensation befits, you know, their commitment level, unlike some other guys in football. So you know what? When there's a passing camp and you're a quarterback, show up. I found that gross yesterday. Gross.
Look, I don't think they're near the top of the list. I think they are at the top of the list. So, look, I mean, I find comments like his laughable, with regard to that yesterday. And, Mike, you're talking about the particulars of it, the day-to-day. The other thing is, we all know that he's not vacuuming the carpet. He's not. They have a nanny to do all that stuff, and who knows whatever housekeepers help they have in the house. I'm sure they
help
have
out
a,
around
a complete,
the house.
Of course, they have a complete team. So that part of it to me. The other thing is, and this is the part I was focusing on yesterday. So if his marriage demanded more attention, now that he's in Tampa, how come he was giving indications that he was going to go to OTAs with the Bucs? So those reports are out there. So all of a sudden it's, you know why? Because the Bucs gave him a 2-year, $50 million contract. That's
guaranteed.
Why. They invested in him, so he will invest in the Bucs. It's really, to me, it's that simple.
Which I know I can accept. I still think a quarterback needs to go to a passing camp. You know, otherwise just hold out. You know, hold out, period. Like, don't show up to training camp. Don't show up to week one. If you're being treated so unfairly on your contract, then hold out. But if you're on the team and you're going to play and you're a quarterback, you got to go to the offseason. I'm sorry, you have to go to the offseason. And look, if she was legitimately putting pressure on him for going to those spring camps, then I would say to her, Giselle, what'd you marry? Like, I mean, you married a football player. It's not just Sundays from 1 to 4. It's not just it takes more than that. It's not just September through February. It's not. There's some summer work, and then in the offseason, especially for a guy like your husband, there's going to be a little bit of work where he has to go into the office. My God, these football players have January, in some cases, okay? Go to the playoffs, it's different. But January, February, March, April, May, June, where they have to work like 3 days for a mandatory minicamp, and then most of July. January, February, March, April, May, June, most of July. But I had to spend more time with my family? Who out there gets, even school teachers, you know, who I'm not ragging on you, but, you know, they've been known to have that schedule, you have that nice gap. Not even teachers get that. What is that, 5-6 months? 5-6 months.
It's a good gig.
Oh, my God. And he had to miss the OTAs to save his marriage. Ay vey. I'm sorry. Nope. And I kind of missed it yesterday. And so I had to scratch that itch. You know how I feel about that. And so I just had to get that off my chest to start today. And now it's off. It's gone.
Feel better?
Yeah, I actually do. I'm going to feel much better coming up next because the Felger and Maz big board will return. Maz will shoot darts for defensive tackles. Is this a position in need for the Patriots? Are these players we should be looking at? We'll discuss that. We'll put players on the board, and we'll do this all next on Felger and Mazz, presented by DraftKings.
Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go, on the Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Mazz.
I love it.
You were right, Mazz.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bored my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Chuck it, spin it, make it make a mark, and don't miss. Go ahead.
Get him right in the onion.
Okay. Okay, this is an interesting guy. Prince Tega Wanago, or how do you pronounce that, Murray? Do you know?
I have no idea.
He's a guy from Auburn. Prince Tega Wanago.
Wanago.
Okay.
I like Wanago better.
I want to go with him.
The name game.
Okay.
Come on, everybody.
I'm going to assume this
one. Top right.
I say, now let's play a game.
Oh, I see it.
I bet you I could make a rhyme.
Oh, yes.
Out of anybody's name.
Amani?
The first letter of the name.
Orururi.
I treat it like it wasn't there.
Amani?
But a B or an F.
Orururi.
Or an M will appear. And then I say,
Money, money, Bobani, banana, banana, for funny, feed, fun, Momani.
Amani? Orururi.
Let's do Tony. Tony, Tony, Boboni, banana, banana, for funny, feed, fun, Momani.
Orururi.
Amani Oru Rai Rai.
Jojuan. Jojuan. Jojuan Williams from Vanderbilt.
Everybody do.
Jojuan.
Jojo, Jojo, Jojuan. Banana, banana, fofo, one, fee, five, momo, one.
Jojuan.
I think it's Jojuan.
Jojuan. Okay. Orururi. Amani Orururi.
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 Amani Orururi.
Did we get it?
All right. Welcome back to the Felger and Mazz program presented by DraftKings. Felger and Mazz Big Board. That's how we do our draft analysis. We shoot markers or something at draft magazines, and that predicts who the Patriots are going to pick. We've gotten 9 guys in 8 years, gotten at least 1 guy every single year since we started this, except for one. The only year we missed was the year they only drafted 4 guys. So the track record of this is pretty good, as goofy as this is. Mazz coming to you from his palatial suburban estate. What are we going to do today, Mazz?
Okay, so here's what we're going to do. First of all, this is my Peterson School sweatshirt. They've been kind enough to give it to us. I want to thank the people at the Peterson School. So here's what we're going to do. I have to ask our TV producer, Vinny Crouch, if he can show the big board. Did we get the big board camera working properly? So I'm going to ask Vinny if he can pop that up there, because I think we got it up. We have a separate camera on the big board, you'll see.
There you go.
Okay. It's not exactly straight. We had a little bit of a scramble. We had a problem with the second TV camera. So you'll see Jimmy Stewart, Billy Lanny, all on the big board. There's a reason you don't see players there, okay? And the reason is I turned the sheets of paper around because today we're going to throw darts. And I'm reasonably accurate with darts, so I didn't want people to think it was rigged, so here's what I did. There were 6 pieces of paper there with defensive tackles on them.
Yep.
They are facing the board, and I covered them and mixed them up and even put some of them upside down.
Yep.
So I didn't know where the players were.
Yep.
I'm going to throw darts at the big board, and then after we throw 3 darts, I'm going to go over and get the pieces of paper while you talk, and then we'll actually uncover who we got.
Love it.
It's a long way.
Does that make sense?
Long way to go to say you're a braggart when it comes to darts, Maz. Is really.
I know that's the lead of that whole thing. He thinks he's pretty snappy with darts.
Well, no, but I have more accuracy than I would with a marker. So I just figured we would be we would be on the level. I don't want people thinking that we engineered or orchestrated this thing. So here you go. Here are your three darts. We're gonna throw them. There you go. One on Billy Lanny. One on Jimmy Stewart. And there you go. It looks like we got the Murray Fuppet with the last one. So there you go. Those are your three darts. I'm gonna go out there.
You know what? You're right, though. I mean, those are pretty accurate darts, right?
Well, so see, there you go. I mean, that's what I was a little worried about. So let me go and grab them, and you chat with Murray for a minute.
First of all, Murray, do you think defensive tackle's a need here for this team?
Absolutely. I thought that group up front last year was good, not great. They certainly could be better against the run, and now that they've lost Danny Shelton, absolutely. I think that they need help on both lines, but defensive tackle is something they should be looking at, maybe at 23 with that first pick they have.
So you'd even go 23 there?
Yeah. I mean, I want, like you, I want speed on defense. I would look at a linebacker, but if they took, if they took someone up there, I wouldn't mind it.
Yeah, big, fat, two-gapping guy. Vince Wilfork was taken around there, and that was a grand slam home run. He was certainly worth it. But, unless you're giving me Vince Wilfork at D-tech, it'd be one thing if they ran a scheme, Murray, where those guys blitzed or got upfield and one-gapped and you could use explosiveness and playmaking. That's sort of the defensive tackle position. There's sort of a hold them up, two-gapping sort of spot. I don't know.
There's a guy that could be Wilfork, so that's what I was trying to think of the name, and I was like, I don't think he's going to be at 23. It's Derek Brown at Auburn, and he's not. He's going in the top 10.
Okay. So, Maz, have you collected your selections yet?
Apparently not.
Doesn't sound like he has.
Still marveling at his kill shots through the head of Billy Lanny, through the head of Jimmy Stewart, through the head of the big Jim Fuppet.
If you're watching on the simulcast, though, it's like my camera work and my production skills very shaky with me and my two daughters and the wood. You think she'd know a thing or two, with being in TV and all this. But Maz is like professionally done two-camera shoot. He's got the switcher back at the home officer.
Yeah, it's like a Spielberg production.
Yes, it really is. All right, Maz, you got your selections ready?
I do. I got them so that the pinholes went through, the dart holes went through to the other side. So our three selections are, you have your book in front of you, right?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, so number 7 in your book should be Raekwon Davis from Alabama. You'll see I circled him right here. Yep. Raekwon Davis of Alabama.
He'd be a good fit. I actually know this name mostly because he's named after one of the members of the Wu-Tang Clan. That's for real, by the way.
But hold on. Hold on. Just give me the other two.
Okay, the next one is number 13 in your magazine, Michigan State, another Raekwon Williams. Big on the Raekwons at defensive tackle. Okay. And the final one is Penn State, number 17, Robert Windsor is the guy that we hit. So those are your three guys.
Okay. Murray, you give me your scouting report on Raekwon Davis, if you like.
I mean, he'd be kind of the consummate patriot, I would think, coming out of Alabama, over 300 pounds. You could probably get him, or you could definitely get him at 23, but based on where the mocks have him, anywhere in the second or third round, again, this is an area of need, and based on where he went to school, the size, I like him. This was someone that I've read on some of the Patriots blogs. Have the Patriots taken him? So it's one of the reasons I knew the name. And again, because he's named after one of the members of the Wu-Tang Clan.
Okay. Most importantly, let's get the priorities right. Here's Maz, I'm going to read the scouting reports from the other magazine because I think they're a little goofier. But it's the same guy. Yeah, Lindy Sports has Raekwon Davis as the number 4th ranked defensive tackle.
Okay.
Strengths, among the most physically imposing players in the country. Blessed with a rare height, broad shoulder, and muscular vines for arms that Davis uses with great effectiveness.
Why do they got to do that? Just say arms.
Vines.
Better vines than tree trunks.
Muscular vines, this guy. Davis shows impressive initial quickness off the snap, challenging tackles outside shoulder when operating on the edge. When playing inside, his quickness can surprise would-be blockers, and he shows impressive strength and an effective push-pull technique, Murray, to rip himself free. So he's got some flexibility there. Plays inside, outside. That's big for them.
Yeah, I've heard, read about the versatility. Good against the run. So, again, the guy sounds like he'd be a perfect fit for them.
Okay, Davis lacks weaknesses, lacks the sustained speed or flexibility to dip around the edge and close on quarterbacks. He's a traditional edge rusher, okay? So he's not a traditional edge guy. He has a bit straight line in his movements, like a lot of defensive linemen of his size, and has to gear down to change directions. Ooh, he's got to gear down. Okay.
Not so there, high speed, right?
There's Raekwon Davis. We'll put him on the board. All right, how about your other one? How about Raekwon Williams, Michigan State, 6'4", 287. Lindy's has him projected to go in the fifth round. His strengths, he keeps his pads low throughout plays and refuses to give away leverage. Connection between his... This is great. Connection between his halves creates good body control.
Don't they mean calves? Like
nope.
What the hell are halves?
I swear to God, H-A-L-V-E-S, halves. A connection between his halves creates good body control. Does anyone care to translate?
Yeah, I think his upper body and his lower body operate independently.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like. What do you want me to tell you?
I love this. I love the pre-draft stuff. Weaknesses. He lacks the mass to stand up against double teams. Still learning how to implement his length. Average power. Average power in his hands. I'll tell you this, Lindy's magazine is very into the hands. Average power in his hands makes it harder to discard blockers as the ball arrives. He's a predictable pass rusher who doesn't bring anything dynamic to the table. Hand usage lacks polish. He's a slow burn rusher who doesn't... What does that mean? A slow burn rusher?
No, he wears you down.
He's a slow burn rusher who doesn't find penetration very often. Poor fella.
Oh, it's like my 20s.
It's a hard way to live.
That's life in the lockdown, isn't it? Unable to flow laterally down the line of scrimmage effectively. Average athleticism overall. Okay, that sounds like a mediocre prospect. We're going to put him on the board nonetheless. Finally, Robert Windsor. Like, we've taken a lot of names that sound like they should be British Royals, Murray. This is another guy.
Right.
This is Windsor.
Here's from the House of Windsor. Robert Windsor, Penn State, projected in the third to fourth round, 6'4", 285. Strengths. Balance helps to overcome some of his natural strength disadvantages he faces. Good range as a tackler allows him to corral runners. Effort and accuracy as a tackler are pleasant surprises. He's able to snag guys where most offensive tackles can't. Okay, he's a snagger. Weaknesses. He lacks gap discipline in the run game. Oh, forget this guy.
Well, they can teach him that.
Well, I don't know. That's number one, gap control. But he lacks gap discipline in the run game. His upright build is too easily compromised when it comes to dropping anchor.
I thought you were going to say drop and trowel.
Well, no, I mean, I dropped anchor right before the show, just in case it really freed me up. All right, so put these three guys on the board. The Velogram Mavs big board is complete for the day. Coming up next, let's bring in a guest, shall we? We've got so much football stuff floating around out there. Let's get help from our friend Paul Perillo from Patriots.com. Sunshine.com will join us right after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Yeah!
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Here we go.
Hey,
Paul.
I hear you now. I just can't stay inside all day.
Uh-uh.
I gotta get out. Give me some of those rays. Everybody's laughing. Sunshine day.
No shot of this working.
Seems so happy today.
Oh, that must have been horrible with all the delays and everything.
Yeah.
Ah, be that as it may, Let's bring a little sunshine into the proceedings. Joining us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline, our friend from Patriots.com, Sunshine.com, Paul Perillo. Paul, how you doing, man? How you hanging in? Everyone good? Everyone healthy?
Oh, my God. That was the worst thing ever. From now on, just Jim. I want a Jim solo the next time I come on.
I don't know if it'll time out correctly, Paul.
How you doing,
Paul? Things good? Yeah, no, we're good. We're all hanging in. You?
Yeah, same old. You know, we're all in this together, right? We're all doing the same.
Attaboy. All right, so first question. We haven't talked to you in a while, in months. So your reaction to Tom Brady's departure, anything that's been said or reported since, and, you know, what's your takeaway on that? Did someone screw up? Was it a bad outcome? Was it the right outcome? What's your takeaway from Brady leaving the Patriots and anything that's been said since?
No, I didn't like some of the stuff, obviously, that came out in the immediate aftermath of him leaving, you know, with – I thought there was sort of a rush to try to, you know, deflect in things otherwise. But overall, I just think it was time. I think Tom's talk yesterday, I think there was a lot of truth to it. I think that he did know, you know, probably throughout the season that this was probably going to be the end of his time in New England. And I really have a hard time blaming people. And I remember back to early in the season when I was in with you guys and you asked me what I thought the outcome would be and to rank my three scenarios. And my first scenario was that he would leave and play for someone else. And you would have thought that I just insulted the Pope on Easter Sunday, the way that everybody reacted. I just felt like this is the way it had to end. I'm not happy about it. I told you guys, I wish that they could have worked it out. And I wanted, selfishly, I wanted Tom to end his career here, but I just think all signs pointed toward him leaving. And I think Tom's pretty much admitted that yesterday.
So, Paul, what do you think was the bigger force, Brady wanting to leave or the Patriots being done with him?
I think Bill, in particular, being ready to move on was the bigger force. And I think Tom probably reconciled that fact in August. And I think you guys talked about it the day, I think it was in Detroit, when he said, you know, asked Mr. Kraft when he was asked about the void year contract that he had signed. He didn't seem very happy. I think he knew that day he wasn't coming back. And I think the reason he knew that he wasn't coming back was because he didn't feel like Bill wanted him back. And I don't think that means that Bill's a bad guy. I think Bill looks at Tom Brady like he's a 43-year-old quarterback, and he has to look at things that way. He can't look at it as, he's Tom Brady, I need to do differently by him. I wish that that's the way he did it, but I understand what Bill thought. I would have held on to him. I would have ridden it out till the end, but I understand where the Bill Belichick decision came from. And I think once Tom decided he's probably not welcome back, then he had to look out for what his next stop was going to be.
Paul, this is
Patriots.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mike. Paul, this comes in two parts. And yes, Paul Perillo, Patriots Football Weekly, who joins us every Wednesday during the football season. Let me start here by getting your opinion. Do you believe that Giselle was a factor in this thing?
I don't believe that was a huge factor, no. I mean, I do think that when he talked about it, with Stern, that, you know, I think there was some seriousness to that. I think there was an element that he wasn't sure of and they weren't sure of, and he felt like he probably needed to do a little bit more and get by that way. But I think that the number one factor, Tony, I think to me, was that they had sort of run to the end of the course. I think the Alex Guerrero thing was part of this. We've talked about this many times with you guys. I felt like that Tom was looking for a little bit more of a commitment from Bill down the road, you know, multi-year contracts. I think the term in the contract was the biggest issue. I think Giselle, I think there was certainly, I believe what Tom said yesterday. I believe there was some, you know, marital problems within their household. I don't think that was the overriding factor. I think the OTAs were skipped largely because I think Bill didn't want to commit to Tom long-term, and Tom not only wanted that long-term commitment, but he wanted Alex Guerrero to be a big part of it. Listen, this is just what I'm piecing together from behind the scenes. I think that certainly his problems with Giselle were part of it. I don't think it was the overriding problem.
Okay, Paul, PaulPerilloPatriots.com. What do you think the plan is at quarterback going forward? You've got one camp, a lot of local guys saying it's Stidham. Todd McShay comes out the other day, says, talking to people in the organization, he's not ready. And so where do you land? What do you think is going to be the plan?
Yeah, I think it's going to be Stidham this year, but I also don't think he's ready. I mean, I don't think that he could be ready based on where he is at this stage of his career. And I think if you would ask Bill Belichick in 2001 at this time, if he felt like Tom Brady was ready, he would have said no. I mean, there's no way he would have thought he was ready. You know, ultimately, he kind of was, you know, when he took over in week three and the Patriots went on to the Super Bowl and all that. I just don't see how you can expect that kind of development from a rookie fourth round pick. I think there were some things that Stidham did last year during the summer that he did well and others that he didn't do as well. I'm sort of in the wait and see approach. I know a lot of my colleagues have been very high on him. They've written a lot of glowing things about Stidham. I didn't see a lot of the stuff that they're writing about when I watched last year during training camp.
So if you feel that way and others do, why do you think they're not, and they may feel that way ultimately, why no stopgap? Why no one-year guy, whether it's a Cam Newton, an Andy Dalton, or something like that?
Because I think they might feel like that Stidham can be that guy down the road. I mean, just because he's not ready to be that guy right now doesn't mean he won't be in 2021 or beyond. I think they like what they see. I think they like some of the things that he brings. I think that there's an athleticism to the position that he brings that obviously Brady didn't. And we'll see if he can learn how to do some of the other things that Tom did so well at a suitable level. I think that there's a lot of unknown there, but I think just because they haven't gone out and gotten a stopgap guy doesn't mean that they think that Stidham is the guy. I mean, I think they're willing to look to see if Stidham can get them some development. I mean, if they won 6 or 7 games this year and Stidham made steady progress in starting all 16 of those games, I think you'd look into going into the 2021 season and say, all right, we have something to work with here. And I think that's probably where Bill Belichick stands right now. Let's see what we have, and then we'll adjust going forward.
Again, Paul Perillo, Patriots.com, joining us here on the program. If you were setting their draft board and, you know, the need column, what's the number one need? Where do you think they should go at 23?
Oof. I think, that, you know, this is a funny thing. They went 12-4. They won a lot of games. I think they have some holes to fill. I think the biggest glaring need on the roster is tight end. But I would never take a tight end at 23. Not if this class doesn't really have anybody that warrants that. But I could see another wide receiver. I could see some help on the defensive front seven. I think they need some speed off the edge. I'd love to get a really athletic edge player if they could. I heard you guys, as I was waiting to come on, talk about defensive tackles, and I think that's another area of need. I think there's a lot of different areas. Right now, cornerback is probably the one spot that they're pretty deep in. With Gilmore, McCourty, Jackson, and Jonathan Jones, that's a pretty good group of corners. Other than that, I mean, they could use a safety to replace Devin McCourty down the road. They need help all around.
Paul, do you think that they'll take a quarterback in the draft?
I do. I'm not sure where. I wouldn't take that off the board at 23, Tony. I think that there's a chance that they like a guy, and we've heard all the names that are out, you know, Jordan Love and Justin Herbert and guys like that. Jake Fromm is a guy that's a little bit later on in the draft that people have connected. Jacob Eason, a kid that started at Georgia, went out to Washington. I wouldn't be stunned if they took a guy at 23, and I think that would tell you a little bit about Mike's question about Stidham too. You know, Mike, you brought that up. You know, how much love do they have for Jarrett Stidham? Well, if they took a guy at 23, that might answer your question.
Paul,
go ahead,
real quick, if Tua was to, you know, slip because of injury concerns, and now there's growing stories about that he's failing physicals, if he were to slip to 23, would you want to take a shot on him?
At 23, I wouldn't mind. I would not be even contemplating the kinds of aggressive moves up the draft board to get into the top five. First of all, they don't have the draft capital to get up that high. And I know people have thrown Joe Tooney around. Joe Tooney's not getting you the third pick of the draft. But if you could sit tight and get him, and maybe he is damaged goods, and you can give him a redshirt year, Jim, yeah, I wouldn't mind doing that. You might find lightning in a bottle. I will say I'm not overly enamored with Tua. I think that he is a pretty athletic kid. I think he's a little on the small side. I think he's already shown that size has caused him to break down a little bit physically, and I wonder about his ability to hold up.
Okay, Paul, I've asked you this during the season. I just want to hear if you still feel the same way. Jarrett Stidham's your starter for all 16 games next year. What's the Patriots' record?
I'm going to be generous, and I'm going to give Belichick the benefit of the doubt and say 7-9.
Oh, you came up, because I think last year it was 6-10.
Six and 10 is my number, but it's the Belichick factor. Bill gets a win. Bill gets an extra win because he's just so much better than everybody else.
Okay, Paul. Thanks again for taking the time. Stay safe. Hope your family's well and all of that. And we'll talk to you when we talk to you.
Same to you guys. Looking forward to it.
Okay, Paul Perillo joins us here. I know a lot of you have been waiting to chime in on anything that we've hit on already. Your chance is next at 617-779-0985.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Maz.
Oh.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, Felger and Maz, as promised, right to your calls. Joe in New York to talk about Brady and Giselle. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. So I definitely think that Tom resented Bill for a lot of reasons that you guys have gone over, but I don't think that is what drove him away from New England. He has a history of taking team-friendly deals, and I think that's who Tom is. And we got to keep in mind, he ended up in Tampa, and there's no way that was the master plan. So my feeling is just that if it weren't for Giselle in his ear telling him he needs to demand respect, he needs to demand money, and saying, hey, I want to get the hell out of New England, I think if it weren't for that, he would have dealt with Bill's crap for another 2 years and re-signed for a crappy deal.
Okay, Giselle is the Yoko Ono figure, and for those of you youngins who don't know what that is, that's the Beatles were broken apart, ostensibly because Yoko Ono got in the ear of John Lennon and broke them all apart. So how do you feel about that storyline, Maz?
Okay, I think there is some validity to it. When I say some, let me be clear. Bill Belichick and Tom Brady were together for 20 years. They're both, you know, intense personalities, competitive guys, accomplished guys. So the fact that it lasted that long is a miracle. And the them burning out over one another, if that's what we're going to call it, was probably inevitable. Okay, so let's start there. But I do think that Giselle was a factor. And the more that I think about it, Giselle is entirely 100% about Giselle, and I mean that professionally, that she was never on a team. It was always about her. The whole thing was about her. And Brady was, I think, probably to a fault, the opposite. In football, you have to be selfless. You have to be humble. You have to understand that you're just part of the machine. And I think over the years, her influence on him, and I'm not saying it was entirely a bad thing, was you're more important to this than you think you are. Start treating yourself with a little bit more respect. And I think over the years, Brady did change some.
Absolutely. So, yeah. I mean, she's a factor in this. And there's a lot of people, I think, rightfully referring to her as the Yoko of this whole thing. Brady and the Patriots and Brady and Bill. And as accomplished and worldly as she is, like Maz just pointed out, of course she's going to be in her husband's ear telling him, you're undervalued, you're underpaid, get the hell out of there.
So she's a factor, not the factor. She's on the
list.
Right. It's not number one. If Bill showed Tom the love contractually on top of everything else, he's still here. And he's just putting up with her. Nick in the truck. Go ahead, Nick, on Jared Stidham.
Hey, how you guys doing? I'm on Team Stidham. The Patriots are my team, so obviously. Not saying he's the guy, but listening to Todd McShay, this is also the same guy that said Jamarcus Russell had the best workout he's ever seen. So, I mean, yeah. I totally don't agree with McShay on that. I also think that at 23, we have no second-round pick. They're probably going to get two picks, you know, what he normally does. So I don't think it's going to be a sexy draft.
Okay, well, that's that second piece I'll leave to the side. I wouldn't, you know, I'm not in the business of ragging on reporters who report news that I don't like. You know, just because I don't like the news doesn't mean it's fake news. So it's sometimes these guys are wrong, sometimes they're right. Todd McShay has sources. Todd McShay has been around a long time, and so I do not dismiss his reporting. But someone is wrong. I mean, meaning someone's – let me rephrase. They're all reporting what they've been told. Okay, McShay just doesn't pull that out of his butt. Someone said that to him, and if he says it's in the organization – I believe it's in the organization. And when Jeff Howard, Tom Kern, or these guys here locally say it's Stidham, 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 they're being told that too. So someone's being fed bad juice. but and we'll find out in the long run. We'll find out who that is. But I do not dismiss McShay. I wouldn't do that. Matt in the car, quickly.
Hey, guys. I'm a local police officer, and I was on the tail end of a 16-hour shift listening to the Howard Stern interview, and I did take exception with the fact of what he said using his family. I mean, I work weekends, holidays, and stuff like that, and my wife's not going to come to me now and say, you know, this just doesn't work for me. I mean, this is the profession I chose.
Right.
And that's just part of it. So for him to use that as the number one excuse, I just don't buy. That combined with you hear about his work ethic and things like that, why wouldn't he go to these OTAs to get himself more online with these young receivers? He was obviously knew it was his last year and somewhat checked out when he entered the season. He can't have his cake and eat it too.
I'm with you, Matt. Thanks for the call. Thanks for your work. I think it was the last 2 years, and it coincided with the contract, and that's it. And to blame the family stuff and to say he had to spend more family time, when these football players really, they're really blessed with a lot of off time. They are. It's not like these other sports where you're constantly on the road or constantly away from home or constantly in this camp or that. It's really not like that. I thought it was gross, and it's like the OTA thing has gone up my keister for a couple of years, especially when, you know, the excuse making about it, Maz. You have a final thought on that before you switch to some other things?
Well, it should go up your tailpipe again, because it's a total crock. It's especially when all of a sudden he's willing to go again. And I'm just basing that on reports and indications that after he joined Tampa Bay, his plan was to go back to OTAs. And so I look at that and say, then how can it be a family issue? It's not.
Okay, we will continue to take your calls on whatever you want. We got some Brady stuff left over that's still on the board. Sit tight. We'll get to you. I do want to update you, and when I say update you, updated opinions, updated thoughts on where the NHL stands on their return and Major League Baseball and their plans to return. Also, some NFL stuff, rule stuff, and Mike Lombardi spoke again today. That's often a harbinger of what the Patriots are going to do or what they're thinking. We'll get to all of that next hour. No commercials here, just a quick update from Murray, and then we're right to it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.